You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. This is a story of unlikely baseball aspirations. It's the story of a 53-year-old man who wants to play in the major leagues. But that man once was one of baseball's most consistent hitters, who played 20 seasons from 1986 through 2005 and retired as just one of four players ever with 3,000 hits and 500 home runs. That career ended when he quietly retired after he was suspended for testing positive for a performance-enhancing drug. We are so happy to welcome to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball, Rafael Palmeiro. Thank you so much for doing this, Rafael. Let me first set the stage. You were one of the game's great hitters when you testified in a congressional hearing in March 2005 that you never used steroids. And then 5 months later, you were suspended for using steroids. 2 years after that, you were named in the Mitchell Report. If you had to do a do-over for that, about that day in Washington, would you still wag your finger at them?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on your show. Well, if I had to go back, I would definitely not do that. That was my attorneys giving me advice on what I needed to say, what I needed to do, how firm I needed to come across, and that really wasn't who I was at the time. That wasn't really my intent, but they insisted on it, and I did it. And I wish I could go back and do a lot of things differently, but that's one of the things that I regret most back in those times.
You told Kenny Rosenthal that your suspension, and these are your words, were a perfect storm that basically destroyed me. How so, Rafael?
Well, it changed my life. It changed the life of my family. It's not what we had planned for the rest of our lives, you know, after baseball. It was just shocking after all the work and everything that I had put into my whole life to have something so unfortunate happen to me and my family at the end of my career. It totally wiped everything off the face of the earth for us. And it was very tough. I mean, it still is kind of tough to think back on those days. It's been a while now. It's been a long time since it happened. And I still, you know, think back at those times, and it's, you know, it's very painful.
You have always maintained that you never used steroids. Do you still feel that way?
Well, I never did. So it's not a matter of feeling. It's a matter of fact. And whatever was in my body was there unintentionally.
You fell off the Hall of Fame ballot after receiving just 4.4% of the vote in 2014, despite everybody knowing that you were a lock for induction. And perhaps if you can get this comeback, this resets the Hall of Fame clock. When the new inductees are announced each January, is January your toughest month to deal with on the calendar?
Not necessarily. You know, in the beginning, my name was on the ballot, and I got a few votes from some of the writers around the country. And then I was taken off, obviously, because I didn't make the 5% threshold. But it seems like every year, a great player, someone that I played with or someone that I played against, goes into the Hall of Fame. So it's really a good time. It's a happy time. You know, last year, Pedro Rodriguez went in, and I was thrilled for him because he was like my brother when we played together. So it's really not a sad time for me. It's actually a good time because it's guys that are the great players of our time that are going in now and had a chance to play with or against.
Do you think you'll ever get in, and what do you have to do to get in, you think?
Well, first of all, I'm not really – if I do have the chance to come back and play – it's not to reset the clock for the Hall of Fame. I think I may have mentioned that to Ken Rosenthal or someone else, maybe here locally. But it's not about that. So, you know, let's just go ahead and get that out there that this is not for me to get anything towards the Hall of Fame. I think my time for that came and went. And I guess something else is coming up with the Veterans Committee at some point down the road. But this is definitely not about that. This is more about me wanting to get back in the game. I feel like I can contribute still at the highest level. and you know, just maybe have a chance to go out on a good note. One, you know, something that I didn't do 12, 13 years ago.
What has life been like for you since you retired in these intervening years?
Oh, it's been tough. You know, I didn't really watch baseball for a while. Of course, you know, I've got two sons that are playing baseball, and I went to their games while they were in high school and through college, and now they're both playing ball in the minor leagues. So, you know, slowly I got back into it, and, you know, I've become a fan. You know, I live here in Texas, so I'm a Rangers fan. And I did some other things. I did some real estate stuff here in the area. So I stayed busy somewhat away from just the baseball part of it. But, you know, having two kids coming up in baseball, obviously I became a fan and a dad and a coach all in one. So that part of it was good.
How long has this comeback you hope for been percolating inside you, would you say?
You know, it's been a while. I think it's been for several years now. You know, my kids have always talked to me about it, and it's always kind of in fun. You know, it's not serious, and you know, but this time around, we started talking about it. You know, they've been working out this off season, and you know, I never have stopped. I you know, because my two boys have been playing, I've been hitting with them, I've been throwing with them, I've been running, I've been doing all the things that they've been doing. Except I don't get to go play my season. So, you know, I feel like I'm in great shape to do it. But this time around, about 3 or 4 months ago, is when everything started, you know, clicking for me, believing that, okay, I think I can do this. I know that I can do this if I've given an opportunity.
Rafael Palmeiro with us on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. One of your sons says you have less body fat than he and his brother, and that you weigh about 195 pounds, which is about 20 pounds less than when you last played.
Well, I think when I got done with baseball, I was about 205, maybe 200 to 205 pounds. That was my playing weight. So it's, I haven't dropped that much weight, but you know, I do watch what I eat more now. I'm obviously older, so I try to take care of myself a little bit different. I think if I, you know, had to do it over again through my career, I'd probably have a better diet. I would take weightlifting a little bit more seriously, have a better running program, all the things that I'm doing now at an older age that I didn't really take that seriously when I was playing.
You've joked with the kids that you'd make a comeback and beat them to the major leagues.
Well, I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but if I get the opportunity, I definitely will beat them to the big leagues. But you know, one of them is playing in the Atlantic League, which is not too far off. You know, that's Double A, Triple A level. And then my youngest son is with the Baltimore Orioles organization. And he has a shot at starting the, you know, with the Double A club. So they're not that far away. But I have to have a team to do this with if I'm going to have a chance to beat them.
What's your motivation for the comeback?
You know, I just miss the game. I miss playing. You know, I love baseball. I feel like I have a lot to contribute, not just on the field, but off the field to some of the young players on a team. And I guess, you know, maybe if things go well, which I have no doubt they will, people may look at me differently. You know, people that doubted me or people that don't believe what happened to me or think that I was lying about it, maybe they would think twice about, okay, you know, if he can do it at 53 and he's clean, then there's no reason for him to have done it back when he was 39 or 40 or 41, whenever that happened. So if I could change some minds, maybe. I'm not really doing it for that reason either, but, you know, maybe it'll end in a good note and I can have a press conference saying goodbye and thanking everybody that I never had a chance to thank.
Through these years, Rafael, what have you heard about in your everyday life from the many people that you played with, officials in the game, people that you may see when you're out in your civilian life? What kinds of things have people said to you over the years?
You know, for the most part, people are fans. People, they appreciated my career. They appreciated what I had done here, you know, in Texas. I'm usually not away from here much anymore, so I don't get a chance to go to Baltimore or even Chicago or the other two teams that I played for. But for the most part, it's positive. You know, people appreciate the kind of career that I had and the way that I played the game. And so I don't really run into, you know, the other side, the guys, the people that are saying, hey, you're cheated, you cheated the game, things like that. So it's been positive for the most part.
What do you say to people who look at Rafael Palmeiro and say, my goodness, the guy's 53 years old. This has got to be some sort of a joke or a publicity stunt.
Well, it's not. It's not. I've said it many times in different interviews in the past year, the last few weeks. It's not a publicity stunt. I'm not looking for publicity. Believe me, I've been on the ground for the last 12 years, and I'm not searching for publicity. I just want a chance to prove myself, to make a team better, to help a team win. And, you know, I've challenged myself here, and I want to be able to have an opportunity to prove not just to myself but to a lot of people that age doesn't really matter. It's what you have inside. It's what you have in your heart. It's your drive. It's your love for the game. And, you know, I totally 100% believe that I can do it, so I know that I'll be able to achieve it. Just looking for a chance.
And how is that going? Have you heard from any ball clubs, or are you just casting your reel looking to bring somebody in so you can get that opportunity?
Well, I've talked to the Rangers a little bit. At this point, they're not interested. You know, obviously, it would be good to do it here because this is my home. I played here the longest. I played here for 10 years. You know, Baltimore is the other team that I had in mind, but at this point, I'm not sure. I'm just focusing on my workouts, getting ready for, you know, like spring training was coming up in the next 4 weeks. So hopefully I'll step it up and make some phone calls and see if something will break my way.
You've posted videos of you in a batting cage, and I'll tell you something, having followed your career, you still have that perfect swing.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's perfect, but it feels good. You know, like I said, I've been swinging the bat. It's not like I just put the bat away forever. I've taken so many swings through the years with my boys in the batting cages that, you know, it's kind of like riding a bike. You don't ever forget how to do it. And I feel my bat speed is still there. And so my eyes are good. You know, my hand-eye coordination is there. You know, I cranked that machine up to 94 miles an hour a couple of weeks ago, and I was able to catch up to those fastballs. And I know it's just a machine. It's not live pitching, but the important thing for me was to be able to see it, to track it, and to be able to score it up, and I did. So there's no question about it in my mind that I can hit big pitching consistently.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just going to say, it's one thing to crush balls in the cage and quite another to face this new generation of pitchers routinely throwing in the high 90s and even 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, but that's fine. I mean, that's just a matter of adjustment. It's no different than hitting when I hit. You know, back when I played, you know, there were guys that were throwing 98, 100 miles an hour. There's just more guys doing it now. But that, you know, that to me is not it's not an issue. I believe that I can catch up to 100 or whatever, but there's not very many guys that can do that.
You believe that in preparing for this interview, you believe you're still capable also of playing defense at first base.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I've taken ground balls, and I feel like I move pretty good side to side, and you know, I've had my boys crank it up pretty good to see if I can see, if I can catch it. And so it's, like I said, man, it's like riding a bike. You don't forget how to do it. It's just a matter of getting out there and doing it over and over and over again, and it's, you know, it comes back.
You don't seem at all worried about your ability to still compete.
No, not at all. In fact, you know, I played a couple of years ago, I played in the Atlantic League for a game. I mean, I didn't even prepare for that. I just went down there and suited up, and it's 2-for-4 in the game. So, and that was about any preparation. There's no doubt about it. I can do this.
Rafael Palmeiro with us on Ned Randall's Talking Baseball. From a team's perspective, contemplating Rafael giving you a shot, should not they be worried about you being a distraction because you're Rafael Palmeiro?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, I know that the questions are going to be asked, and I'll answer the questions. But I believe that if I'm performing at the level that I know I can, and I'm helping the team win, I think that's going to overshadow. You know, at some point, people are going to get tired of asking the same old question.
Right.
So they'll focus more on my performance and what the team is doing. If the team is doing well, if we're winning, that's gonna take priority over anything personal. You know, anything with me in the past.
If a club gave you a shot, but they then said to you, Rafael, we want you to go to the minor leagues. Would you go to the minor leagues?
You know, I don't know. I think that you know, my whole focus is get a spring training invite and win a job. Be in the starting lineup opening day. That's kind of my focus. That's kind of what my goal is. And then, you know, if I get to that point and that option is, you know, if that option to go to the minor leagues is presented to me, at that point I'll make a decision. You know, it depends on how close I'm going to be back to the big leagues, if it's just going to be a matter of weeks or months. I mean, it's just a matter of when that time comes, I'll have to make a decision. But for now, I'm just, you know, my mindset is I'm going to have a, you know, I'm breaking camp with a big league club.
If there was no big league club, but say there was an independent team that came to you and say, Rafael, we really want to play and we really want you to play for us and we believe in you. We're not doing this for the publicity. Or if there was a team in another country that said the same thing to you, might you consider that?
I guess I could. You know, it may be, it might make my journey back a little bit longer. And, you know, I've thought about it, and to me, it's, you know, I'm not 34 years old or 35 trying to get back, where if I were that young, yeah, there, I do have time to, you know, work the system back and get back into the big leagues. But every day that I'm not there is one less day. I mean, I am 53 years old and clock is ticking, so I want to get there. I want to be there now. I want to be there opening day. And so I guess I would have to think about it when you know, if there's not a team that's giving me an opportunity, then, you know, we'll see. I know my son Patrick is going to play with Sugarland in the Atlantic League. I can probably play there if I wanted to, but I'm not going there yet.
But that would really be something to play with your son, just the way Ken Griffey did.
That's right. That's right. That would be nice. I mean, I did it 2 years ago with him. We'll just have to wait and see how things unfold here over the next few weeks.
Pete Rose, Carlton Fisk, Omar Vizquel, Tim Wakefield, and Roger Clemens played at age 45. Randy Johnson, Tommy John, Charlie Huff, Jesse Orosco, and Nolan Ryan played at age 46. Phil Niekro pitched at 48. Jamie Moyer and Hoyt Wilhelm pitched at 49. And Julio Franco was also 49 when he became the oldest position player to ever play regularly. And he was 4 years younger than you are right now. Minnie Minoso got into a game at 56 in 1980. That was strictly a publicity stunt, and he became the third player to get a hit after the age of 50. There are some huge names on that list, but you're older than all of them, and a lot of people, I think, have a sense of, my goodness, if he can do it, God bless him, but wow, 53.
You know, it's just a number, man. I keep saying it. The number 53 is just a number. I actually feel better now than I did when I was at the end of my career, when I was 40, 41 years old, because I'm taking care of myself a lot better now. So to me, you can reverse it. I feel like I'm 35 now that I'm 53. And when I was 40, I felt a lot older than 40. So the age is just a number. It doesn't really matter. It's just how you feel. It's what you have in your heart. It's your desires, your drive. And so I feel young at heart. I know that I can do it.
Is there anything Rafael Palmeiro can say or do to change the public's perception of him?
I don't think I can. I don't think that I can say anything. I think that I can go out and play the game, and, you know, do well and show everyone that at the age of 53 I can perform at the level that I was performing back then, and then maybe, you know, with my actions on the field, people may think, okay, well, yeah, he was. he wasn't lying about what he said.
Are you looking for redemption and also for closure to go out on your own terms?
Well, I'm not sure if I'll get redemption, no matter what I do. Closure, maybe. You know, maybe there's one more chapter that that I haven't lived through yet, and could be a good ending to something that I worked so hard my whole life. And so maybe closure, that would be good.
You never had a chance to say goodbye.
I never had a chance to thank everyone along the way. So.
And you said, quote, maybe 12 years later I can prove to the whole world that I didn't need anything to have a good career, unquote.
That's correct, because I didn't need it. I did not need anything to have the kind of career that I had, because I was a hard worker and I loved the game.
It seems like if you do get this tryout, you have nothing to lose.
Well, I'm not sure if that's the case, but I think that for a team that may give me a shot, they may not have anything to lose, other than just an invite. And hey, if I fall flat on my face, then they can send me home, and then I have to live with, you know, with the failures of having to come back. So I think maybe for me, there's more to lose than there is for a team. But there's also some to gain if I can do this right and perform the way that I feel like I can perform. Then, you know, I think there's a lot to gain, but just not for myself. I think that, you know, for an organization that's got young players, like with the Rangers, for instance, there's a lot that I can bring to a club. There's a lot that I can bring to, you know, off the field to this organization or to any other organization. So there's a lot to gain as well.
And I was just going to ask you that before we go. In the intervening years, Raphael, did you contact ball clubs with the thought of, I'm going to stay in the game, I'd like to coach, I'd like to manage?
No. I never contacted anyone, and no one ever contacted me either. I just kind of went away and focused on my kids and their careers through high school and college and not in minor leagues. And no, I didn't pursue that at all.
How much time do you give this dream of yours?
Well, I don't know. I haven't thought about that. I just live it day to day, and you know, as long as I have that burning desire to do it, I'm going to keep doing it.
I thank you for this opportunity. So that'll do it for Raphael Palmeiro and myself on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.